Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, May 6th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, the IRS is ready to expand surveillance of offshore accounts. And a woman celebrates her abortion on YouTube.
It's all sold, totally fake, clearly, for young girls and young women watching. Oh, my gosh. Oh, ooh, pregnant. Ooh, gross. Ooh, ooh, bad. That's what she's saying with her body language. There's one thing to do. It's magic. It was great. It's so much fun.
Well, if you're ever wondering just how sick and twisted things have gotten in America, you really need to look no further than YouTube. You can find all kinds of disturbing videos there. But this next one takes the cake. A woman posted a YouTube video of herself having an abortion. This was, I am not kidding. She is a counselor at a New Jersey abortion clinic. She celebrated her own abortion by posting it on YouTube in order to treasure her special memory. Emily Letts recorded the lead up to the procedure and some of the abortion itself as part of an effort to inspire women who may feel guilty or scared about terminating their pregnancies. Now, I can't watch this video myself. It is up on InfoWars. It's pretty infuriating, but I can, you know, her quotes are right there. She's gone on to do some other interviews after the fact, and she says she didn't do this because her life was in danger. She did it as a retroactive form of birth control. The baby's father never once mentioned in this video, but she's just, it's sick. I mean, she's smiling the whole time. She lets out a giggle, in fact, and she states at the end of it, she's like, yay, cool, I feel good, I'm a lucky girl. I mean, this is the sick, twisted video that this girl posted up on YouTube, and she says that she held onto an ultrasound as a memento of this special memory. It's always going to be a special memory to her of the day that she went and killed her unborn child for the world to see. Now, regardless of how you feel about abortion, if you're pro-choice or whatnot, I understand it's not a black and white issue. This is insane. This is sick. This is basically telling women to celebrate this killing of your babies, killing of your unborn children, that it's something to celebrate and something that you can be happy and proud about. She goes on to say, I'm not sad at all. I don't feel any guilt. And that's basically what she wanted to do, was empower people and let them know this can be a positive procedure. She goes on to say 1 month afterward, I don't feel like a bad person. I don't feel sad. I knew that what I was going to do was right. It was right for me and for no one else. And of course, by that, she especially does not mean that it was right for her unborn child. So basically, this video is just, you know, the precipice of this sort of thing becoming the norm for our society, that this being totally selfish and just not having any regrets and not being somber about a procedure such as this is just, it's okay. That means that we're liberated and we're just moving forward as women, right? It's this twisted sense of reality. Now, it turns out that Emily Letts is not just an abortion counselor. She's also an actress. So now this is causing a lot of people to say, well, did she do this for attention? You know, because today reality is all about how many likes you can get on your social media account and how many fans you can get. She was an actress. Her Letts' most recent movie was a horror flick centered around, you guessed it, the slaughter of children. So people are asking, was this just a publicity stunt? Did she put this together herself in an effort to get noticed, or was someone else put her up to this? Was it entirely of her own making for fame? Did she want to be the first woman out there to put out a shock video on YouTube? I mean, what's the next viral video going to be? I find it really hard to believe that she just did this to make abortion cool and trendy and acceptable. Because if that's true, then that's really sick. That's very sick. Now, we've already reported, you know, on how fame has become a sickness. It's absolutely a sickness. People will stop at nothing for a little bit of notoriety. Apparently, even posting YouTube videos of them killing their unborn children. Well, she wanted to be famous, and now the world will know who she is, and I can't wait to see in the coming weeks. I'm sure she's going to be hailed as some folk hero for the women's liberation movement. But where are these so-called liberated women when it comes to the nearly 300 missing Nigerian girls? They were kidnapped. Their families are calling out for them to be rescued. It's gained international attention, and now the U.S. is going to be sending a team to help find these kidnapped girls. Now, it was about 270 Nigerian girls. They were kidnapped from a school in April by a militant Islamic group, Boko Haram. They have claimed responsibility for taking these young women as punishment for them receiving a Western education. Now, the leader of this group says he will sell the girls at market. He's going to sell young women as young as 9 years old because, according to his religion, these women are slaves. And according to Sharia law, these girls, they just need to go get married. And that's what he says. So he's going to be selling them off. Now, the U.S. has announced it's going to be deploying a team to help locate these missing girls. And more young women are actually being kidnapped daily. People are calling for drones to be used to help in this search. But what this article fails to mention, and it makes clear that it's biased reporting, is that Boko Haram is a militant radical Islamist group. They just call them a militant group, but they're radical Islamists. They're calling for Sharia law. They say they're not going to stop until this is implemented. But the article fails to include that very important detail. That's what this whole kidnapping is all about. And that's kind of one of the reasons why we're hearing silence from the feminist groups, because nobody wants to insult a religion or a culture that we don't understand entirely. Now, it's because of this, you know, we don't want to be culturally insensitive, or we don't want to be called racist or bigots. But is it bigoted of me or racist of me to think a Satanist shouldn't sacrifice a child because that's their religion? No, we all know that that is wrong. So it is time for people to start speaking out about these things that are clearly abhorrent. So they don't want to seem, you know, non-trendy by insulting someone's culture. So they remain silent on truly abhorrent crimes against women. Where is the Ban Bossy campaign with respect to this? It's a sickening kidnapping by 270 plus girls. Their families are crying out for help. Rhiannon Coslett of The Guardian calls for Western feminists to stand in solidarity rather than confronting this casual sexism, which is what they're prone to do. Stand up against something as profoundly revolting as this issue of slavery, forced marriage, and child rape. We have to insist that something be done about these women who have no voices. We, as the truly free and liberated women of the West, it is our duty and our responsibility to stand up for these women and to call it like it is. This is not right. But instead, the liberated women are posting YouTube videos of themselves and their downward spiral. It is insane. Apparently, it only works to speak out against wrong if it fits the political agenda of the day.
The recent comments of the NBA's Donald Sterling have sparked much controversy. And while I don't agree with Sterling, the most interesting thing following his leaked phone conversation isn't that he's been asked to relinquish the LA Clippers. It's that it set a precedent to go after anyone in the league for seemingly any reason. Doug Davos, whose family owns the Orlando Magic, is now being targeted for his support of traditional marriage, with pundits and activists alike deeming him a homophobe. Seems like the naysayers are much more concerned with thought crimes than physical crimes, such as U.S.-funded jihadists crucifying Christians in Syria. In theory, this could have been an international news story if the jihadists had recorded themselves talking about the crucifixion instead of actually carrying it out. And finally, the thought crime in Oklahoma of someone having the audacity to donate the Ten Commandments to state capitol grounds was so offensive to devil worshippers in New York that they want to place a, quote, child-friendly Lucifer at the capitol grounds as well. A member from the Satanic Temple says that one could even sit on the statue's lap and take a selfie with Baphomet. So it's not okay when Christians do it, but if Luciferians do it, then it's just fine. You can find more reports at Infowars.com.
And while so many people are calling to oust racists in the NBA, why aren't a lot of people calling to get rid of our criminal, corrupt police force? One of the biggest criminal cases coming out of the Occupy protest in New York City was decided yesterday in a guilty verdict for Cecily McMillan. She got no justice, no fair trial, and her case just underscores the public's acceptance and this normalization of police brutality. Now, Cecily, she can face up to 7 years in prison for this. She was found guilty of felony assault against Officer Grantley Bovell. She was one of 70 protesters who gathered in Zuccotti Park to mark the six-month anniversary of the start of the Occupy movement. There are thousands of pictures online. You can see police moved in. They were heavily armed. They went to arrest nonviolent protesters. Chaos ensued. Now, the cop claimed that McMillan elbowed him in the face as he attempted to arrest her. McMillan and her defense team claimed that Bovell grabbed her right breast from behind, causing her to instinctively react. But jurors weren't allowed to see the photos of the chaos. They didn't see the cops in riot gear. They didn't hear anything about the police violence. To the jury, the hundreds of police batons, helmets, fists, and the violence that was there, it was invisible. The jury was only presented a close-up of McMillan's elbow. They didn't show Bovell's eye, and this was how they were asked to determine who was the violent one. The prosecutors and the judge prohibited them from zooming out to show the chaos, and despite thousands of photographs and evidence, because journalists were there, journalists and innocent bystanders were punched, kicked, tackled, and beaten over the head, but despite all of that photographic evidence, the jury found her guilty based off of one picture of her elbow. So this is wrong on so many levels, but it just goes to show how brainwashed the public is into just accepting that police violence and violent police and the way they react to protesters and nonviolent protesters is just normal. It's just another day on the job. Thankfully, some people in Albuquerque are absolutely fed up with the police violence there. They, in fact, stormed the city council meeting there in Albuquerque, and 40 people attempted to arrest the police chief on Monday. They said, this is no longer your meeting. This is the public's meeting. So they are fed up with how out of control things have gotten in there at Albuquerque. We've reported on how criminal and corrupt the police force is there. Those people have had enough. We will report more on that as it develops. Now, in other propaganda, the White House has released its 840-page national climate assessment. And surprise, there are dire warnings involved here. They said there's going to be coastal flooding in the Northeast, water shortages in the Southeast, crippling droughts, heat waves all over the Midwest, and all sorts of other planet-altering changes all across the United States. White House advisor John Podesta says, if you want to argue about climate change, you're siding with the polluters. See, so now you're not even allowed to question the official story. You're just a polluter. And critics of the administration and the actions it has taken thus far on climate change argue that the report is little more than an attempt to spook the American people into supporting the president's controversial agenda. Now, I take offense to that because I really do care about the planet, but I absolutely question what their administration is trying to do about it. They're not trying to actually fix the problem. If that was the case, Harry Reid's building a bunch of solar farms there in Nevada if they'd actually just turn them on and let the sun do its job. You know, once you get past the initial cost of building the solar farms, it's free after that. But they're not really concerned about that. They don't really want to stop this dire consequences of this global warming because we've got the fix. That's why, you know, they've got this huge push now to tax people who have solar energy on their homes. Basically, there was this huge push for solar energy because it's going to save the planet and it's going to be what we need to bring down the carbon emissions. But then all of a sudden, it was a little too effective. It wasn't bringing in enough tax revenue. So now they had to start taxing these homes. Now Oklahoma is hitting their people with a solar tax. If you've got solar panels on your home, you're going to have an extra tax because they're not making any money off of you. And in fact, some places, the power companies actually owe those homeowners with solar panels money. So basically now they have to put this extra fee on it, looking at a way, you know, that they can take advantage of the people who embraced going green. And it's not just that. It's people who bought fuel-efficient cars. That, too, is proving to be a little too efficient, and it's not putting money in the pockets of the uber elite rich people who own all the energy out there. Now, states like Oregon and Washington, they've already started their drive tax, but in California, the Senate there has introduced a bill to test out taxing motorists by the mile as well. Now, the state's gas tax was no longer bringing in the revenue that it used due to people driving more fuel-efficient vehicles. And the gas prices are insane in California. So, I mean, basically, they convinced all these people that they need to save the planet and they got to buy all these fuel-efficient cars. So then they do, and then now they're going to punish them because their cars are just too fuel-efficient. So basically, if you take a 600-mile vacation, you're going to get taxed for going on vacation. Now, this is what we also are reporting is going to happen with smart meters. They keep selling these smart meters as a way to save energy, and it's going to lower the cost of your energy bill. Yeah, right, because that's what the power companies are trying to do, is help you save a dollar, help take money out of their pockets. This is a total joke. Not only is it going to leave us open to vulnerability, hacking of the grid, and spying on our every move, it's absolutely going to raise our bills. They're going to find a way to tax us and to continue robbing the taxpayer of pennies, all the pennies they can get their hands on. That's what this is all about. Because lawmakers could literally save the planet if they wanted to, but that's not what their job is apparently these days there in D.C. Now coming up, what are drug makers doing about the dire consequences of being in a post-antibiotic era? We're hearing all of these reports about how antibiotic-resistant superbugs are now plaguing countries worldwide. Well, drug makers really are setting us up to be completely vulnerable to a pandemic. That report is coming up right after this.
From the water table to our soils to the atmosphere itself, our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape, but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
A chemical spill contaminating the water supply in 9 West Virginia counties.
This year alone, over 300,000 people in West Virginia had their drinking water contaminated.
What are the health effects of having these drugs in our drinking water?
It's forced medical treatment without the consent of residents.
My friends, water filtration is one of the most basic actions you can take to protect you and your family from the harmful toxins and heavy metals in your tap water.
On average, the county says it sprays with glyphosate at least once a week.
Few filters cut out the glyphosate that is found in water supplies worldwide. Remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, hydrofluorosilicic acid, sodium hexafluorosilicate.
Fluoride, it is in tea, it's in coffee, it's in water, it's in bread, it's in toothpaste.
It is our responsibility to protect our families. The establishment's not going to do it. It's time to take action. It's time to filter our water. For a limited time, use the promo code WATER15 and get 15% off on all ProPure systems at InfoWarsStore.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
The news is plagued with headlines warning the deadly superbugs that evade antibiotics is spreading globally. The World Health Organization is calling for urgent action to preserve the power of antibiotics, as the effects of drug resistance will be devastating. Something as simple as a scratch or a UTI could kill, and once-beaten diseases could resurface as fatal illnesses. According to a new report from the World Health Organization, antibiotic resistance is now a bigger crisis than the AIDS epidemic. One of the best-known superbugs, MRSA, is estimated to kill around 19,000 people in the U.S. annually, far more than HIV and AIDS. Drug resistance is driven by the misuse and overuse of antibiotics, which encourages bacteria to develop new ways of overcoming them. As some strains are eradicated, other more virulent forms of a disease pop up in their place. Last year, a mystery flu-like illness killed dozens of people in Texas, including family members of Alex Jones. The cause of illness has yet to be diagnosed, but doctors are certain it's not H1N1, but they say perhaps it could be a new form of the disease. But while there's the threat of a post-antibiotic era and new drug-resistant diseases are imminent, why is the government reconstituting deadly viruses? Earlier this year, researchers reconstructed the DNA of the first ever bubonic plague. The researcher hasn't ruled out the possibility for potentially dangerous mutations and warned there could be new outbreaks. Researchers reconstituted the 1918 Spanish flu, perhaps the most lethal plague in the history of humankind, to help prevent a calamity, they hoped, and not cause one. Scientists experiment with these potentially deadly viruses in order to develop new vaccines and treatments, but sometimes those strains and their mutations might not stay safely inside the lab. Last month, a maximum research facility lab in Texas reported missing one of five vials containing a potential bioterror agent. CDC officials didn't consider the missing vial a public health threat and say it's extremely unlikely the vial was stolen, but rather fell under some equipment and was swept into an incinerator. A French lab reported it lost more than 2,000 vials containing fragments of the deadly SARS virus. How can it be that easy to misplace a bioweapon? And even more curious, the genetic code for these agents is uploaded into public databases so other researchers can download them to conduct experiments. How easy would it be for a bioterrorist to exploit that information? As headlines are flooded with the warnings of a post-antibiotic era, drug makers have said they will no longer produce antibiotics. No doubt this will drive up the cost of existing antibiotics, but what else is behind this? Is it a push to get people to buy more medical insurance? Or is it something more sinister, like leaving the entire population helpless to a superbug or a weaponized bacterial outbreak? Outbreaks like the Ebola virus that is currently spreading throughout Africa. In April, a mob in Guinea descended upon an Ebola treatment clinic, accusing Doctors Without Borders health workers of bringing the Ebola virus with them to Guinea, where there had never previously been any cases of the virus. Beta tests are performed to study how fast a disease spreads and how far it goes. Is it inconceivable to believe that these outbreaks are a beta test for a much larger deadly plague virus that's set to be released? And how much does the government know? FEMA is advertising for contractors who can supply medical biohazard disposal capabilities, 40-yard dumpsters, and medical supplies to go with 1,000 tent hospitals set up across the United States. The emergency rollout of these services must be able to be completed within 24 to 48 hours. These large-scale purchases indicate that FEMA is not just making routine emergency preparations, but instead gearing up for a major crisis. They're getting prepared. Are you?
My
Hi, friends. Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere. From all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents, radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Hi, I'm Shane Steiner. A lot of you have been following my progress using Supermail Vitality. The last 19 weeks has been an incredible experience. I was feeling a little down and lethargic during the holidays, and none of the supplements that I was taking were doing any good. That's when my longtime friend from high school, Alex Jones, introduced me to Supermail Vitality. I was a little skeptical at first. Not only would I have the energy to work out and go to the gym, but it was actually the changes were happening to my body a lot more rapidly. My whole mood, my libido, everything had completely changed. The concentrated organic herbs, they stimulate your natural systems to produce the natural hormones that you need. I just really wanted to bulk up and hit it hard, and I went in for about the first 5 weeks and was lifting heavy weight and just really hitting it hard, and I gained 20 pounds of muscle immediately. Since that, I've decided I was going to lose some weight and slim down. I just changed up my workout a little bit, and 35 pounds came off. Folks, this is not a joke. This is not a gimmick. It's real. Supermail Vitality. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Bye, thank you.
I don't feel like a bad person. I don't feel sad.
I can officially say, watching that for like the third time today, that is the most satanic thing I have ever seen in my life. And the Democrat websites are promoting it as trendy. They've got all the trendy guys with the big beards, and you're young and we can wear sexy suits and have fun, and you deserve it. Paul Watson joining us from Albion, from London. What do you make of this? Do you agree with me that this is the most satanic thing I've ever seen because of the cooing and the orgasm noises and everything? Clearly it's all staged to sell this to everyone. I would question if she even had an abortion. Watson, what do you say?
It's absolutely chilling, Alex. I mean, the response that I got immediately was that, oh, it's her right to choose. But of course, that's not even what this is about. It's about the enjoyment of the procedure. This is a sacrament. It's joyous. Yeah, watch the video. She's literally humming, cooing with a big beaming smile on her face while this is going on. She's enjoying it, and then she lauds it in a subsequent Cosmopolitan piece. But the good news is, if there is any good news to come out of this, there's a poll on Huffington Post which asks, do you think Emily Letts' abortion film is A, delusional, and abortion is never a positive experience, or B, inspirational and celebrates the empowerment of having a choice? This is the Huffington Post. 60% think it's delusional and that abortion shouldn't be celebrated.
Well, I mean, look, it's obviously like a cult training video. I mean, it looks like Hail Bop cult videos or something. I'm just so happy. Greatest day of my life. I mean, this is off the chart. I'll guarantee you that was written by the CIA or Planned Parenthood. What do you think?
The video has actually been out since March, and it only went viral today. It had 30,000 views as soon as it got picked up by most of the media today. It's doubled in views. Of course, the thumbs down comments have doubled, because initially she said she got an overwhelming wave of support for making this video. But when actual people in significant numbers began to see it, you know, the thumbs down comments on YouTube are running into the thousands already. And even the liberals, even the lefties are aghast at this, because, you know, as I wrote in the article, is it too much to ask for these people to at least be somber, solemn, and regretful for killing a baby, even if you think that's
their I'll guarantee you, if they saw somebody, you know, killing a rabbit for dinner, they would freak out and want you arrested, calling it inhumane. And I don't like the inhumane treatment of animals, but what about a human, a baby? Have some reverence if you're going to kill it.
At least, you know, act respectful, act solemn. It's absolutely chilling. But then, of course, the abuse of women's rights in places like Iran and Afghanistan is completely ignored. You know, women getting stoned to death, stabbed for not wearing a burqa or a veil.
Oh, all the trendy CIA floozies and establishment bimbos, prostitutes like Gloria Steinem, you'll never hear a word about that because the CIA policy is to put jihadis in and enslave women.
Exactly. And I mean, it's not only this example, you've mentioned others. In March, I wrote another article about the DC Abortion Fund, which actually had a donation drive. They offered people coat hanger pendants in reference to the vile method of using a coat hanger to perform an abortion. If you donated $10 or more a month, then you got a coat hanger pendant, and that money went to pay for women in Maryland and Virginia to terminate their pregnancies. So this runs throughout the whole leftist pro-abortion movement, this lip-smacking celebration of killing babies like some horrific ancient pagan ritual.
Well, that's the thing, is the lip-smacking. I mean, they told her to get in a really good mood and try to be a seductress. I mean, she could get a job actually as a newsreader where they have the women do the seductress deal and the men actually think, looking through the television, you know, the woman's really aroused by them. She is like trying to seduce women here into being for abortion. It was clearly highly scripted and very sick. And it just shows the spirit of this, the abject craziness of these people. Yeah, she says in there, if you didn't hear it, folks, the video's up on Infowars.com. I'm keeping this to remember it. I mean, my God. I later learned where an abortuary was, where one of my kids got killed in Austin, and I can't drive by it. Literally, I almost run off the road and start crying. And these people are like wanting to have a memento and celebrate it and remember it.
Thank you for tuning into the show tonight. We will see you here tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.